We've been going through the book of 1 John. Maybe if you want to just, my text is 1 John 3:11 to 24. The heart of holiness is love. My subject this morning is love. If you want to just put up the next slide, I'll just go through it. John uses all these word pictures and comparisons all through this little book. And if you go back to the Gospel of John and then the book of Revelation, John's language is amazing, just how he contrasts and he uses the seven big I ams in the Gospels. And in this book of 1 John, he compares all these different pictures and he just keeps shocking us. And as Jordan said last week, talking about the culture, you know, he's talking about the love of God, and then he's talking about we do not go in and keep on sinning. If you say you love God, if you say you're a Christian, you'll stop doing these things. It's kind of like back and forth, life and death and light and darkness and the counterfeit and the real and all the good things of God. And in this, and then we've been saying maybe the next slide, just talking about some of the, you got to know the truth, and then you obey the truth, and then you experience God. Then you experience fellowship, and you experience the life of God. Or you can say light and love and life and light and love. Or what you know, what you do, and then what you experience. You participate in the gospel. You love one another. And we just see it over and over. He just keeps circling around these truths again and again and again. And he's making these comparisons. And so when I was thinking about my text this morning, It kind of just fell out of the Bible. You know, I love it when sermons just fall out of the Bible. And of course, every sermon should fall out of the Bible, right? But if you turn in your Bibles, I'm in an NIV Bible, so if it's a little different, you can just listen or you can follow along. And if you're using your phones and whatever, shame on you. No, I use that too. It's just that they don't feel so good. They just don't. You can't write on them. See the writing? It's so nice. But whatever you use for your Bible, could you open it? And in verse 11 of chapter 3, to the end of that chapter is my text. And we'll read through it just so that you hear the Word of God, and then we'll go back and look at some of the things. So first of all, verse 11, he says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning." And I'm going to preach on that message, what it is, that we love one another. "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." Then verse 16, this is the second point. This is how we know what love is. Our message, first of all, is love. Verse 16, we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then the third paragraph in this chapter, in this section, he says, "Then this is how we know that we belong to the truth. This is how we experience and know that we are part of this message, part of this example of Christ." He says, "We have set our hearts," excuse me, "this is then how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." Amen. So I want to look at those three paragraphs that jumped out of that portion of Scripture to me. So the first one is, this is our message. Our message is love. See, John's been going pretty heavy in this book. And as I said, he keeps coming around to it. He talks about what we know, then what we should do, how we should walk in that, how we should live it, obey it. And then we'll experience this amazing life of God. We'll experience fellowship. We'll experience life. We'll have a relationship with one another. We'll love one another. And in chapter 3, he talked about love being lavished on us, but then he goes into this sin. As if you were here last week, you remember Jordan saying, it's like one moment it's all sweet and he's the best friend of Jesus, and the next moment he's saying, but if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, and if you keep on sinning, you know nothing of the kingdom of God. And he's been pretty heavy. And then in this chapter, these verses, he backs up a bit, and now he's trying to explain to us again what is our message, what it is, what is it that we're supposed to be about, what are we trying to do here. And that's why I got the title, The Heart of Holiness is Love. It's not stop sinning. Yes, it's that. It's not do a bunch of good things. Yes, it's that. But with the heart of it, it comes from a place of love. It comes from a relationship with God. It comes out of a place of knowing Him personally. He says our message is to love one another. It's the same message we've had from the beginning. And he says, secondly, that we know that this love is about because of Jesus. And then he says, then we experience it and we know it ourselves by being part of it and living in it. So that's my sermon for this morning. It's not just not sinning. It's not just stop doing things. Christianity is not a boring... Where's my water bottle? I hope this one's mine. Thank you. I love everybody, but not that much. Sharing that water. You guys look good today. You should wear those clothes every day. I am really tired of winter, and I thank the Lord the sun is shining outside. And thank you for being here today. You look good. I should have said that earlier. You guys look good, and I'm glad you're here. I really am. If you weren't here, what would I be doing up here? So I'm glad you're here. So, first of all, our message is love. What does that mean? Well, I like guys like Ravi Zachariah. They agree with me. Brian Houston. Some of those little guys, you know, they preach my messages all the time. I steal them. But he says this, the supreme ethic God has given us is love. I don't know if it's on the next slide. Check it out. No. It's okay. Just stay there. The peak of intellectual and emotional refinement is love. Love places value on a person, sees them as something to be protected. Value and love are the supreme ethic of God. Galatians 5 verse 6 says this, faith, what counts is faith expressed through love. Faith working through love. I could go through the whole list. You can see them. Everything that has to do with Christian life, the center of it comes back to our relationship with God, comes back to a place of loving God and loving one another. If we don't have that, we have religion, we have effort, we have us trying to do good things. And it's not wrong to try to do good things, it's just really tiring. And it's really hard to keep on doing those things when you don't feel like it. And you wake up and it's winter for the 168th day, world record. Never been above zero within the 24 period, stayed above zero within the 24 hours. We have a record here in Edmonton. We should be proud of it. But some days you wake up and you like, I need God. I need something that comes from inside. I need something of His power working through my life. Faith is love working. Peace is love resting. Hope is love trusting. Fear is absence of love. The heart of a holy life, the heart of doing things that are consecrated to God, which is holiness, things that are set apart for God and set apart to God, comes out of a heart of love. Otherwise, it's work. Otherwise, it's legalism. Otherwise, it's just doing hard things. And our message from the beginning, John says, is love. John's example in this paragraph, he says, don't be like Cain. Cain murdered his brother. You say, well, that's a pretty radical example. But that's what the heart of man is like. That's what your heart and my heart is like without God's grace, without the power of God working in us. We, you know, Jesus, I can take you to scriptures where he says, if you hate your brother, if you speak poorly of him, it's murder. It's hate. It's hating them. It's murdering them. It's the same. It's in your heart. It comes from your heart. And the only one who can change that, the only person who can change a heart is Jesus and our relationship with him and walking with him. So he says, don't be like Cain. What was Cain's problem? Cain was greedy. Cain was selfish. Cain only was concerned for himself. You know the story of Cain. He murdered his brother. He was frustrated and he murdered his brother, literally. And we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be living this selfish life. We're not supposed to be living this life that's all about me and myself and I. And it's only God, and it's only a Christian, it's only someone who gets their heart right, who can turn their thoughts and their worlds away from themselves for a moment and look around and see others. So our message from the beginning is this amazing ethical, highest moral ethical position you can have is to love. God is love. Everything to do with God is about our relationship. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. It comes out of a relationship with him. And so John says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. It's nothing's changed. It's the same message. It'll keep being the same message. If you go back in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, everybody can quote that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's God's heart. That's who God is. That's how God works in this world. And that is our message. And if we lose that message, we don't have a message. If we lose the message of love, of that giving, and I could take you through all the definitions of love and the different types of love, agape and eros and philia and storge and even lust, a strong desire that is committed to God, otherwise it's sin. But it's all those areas of our life that God wants to speak through and to and in and with and through to touch this world, to show himself, to show his heart, to show his character to you and to me. So those are his examples. The second chapter is, or paragraph, sorry, he says, this is how we know what love is. How do you know what love is? Well, he says Jesus is the example. Simple. It's a simple message. Jesus is our example. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life. Galatians 5:8 says this, God's demonstrated his love in this, while we are yet sinners, he gave his son. While we are yet sinners. Jesus is this amazing example of what the love of God is. You say, well, okay, our message is love God and love one another. Wonderful. We've been saying that for 2,000 years. How does that look? Well, look at Jesus. Look at his example. Look at how he lived his life. Look at how he lived. John goes on, he says, if you have opportunity, he just uses these five words. If you have opportunity, sees his brother, and his heart is moved. That's in this little paragraph. This is how we know what love is. He uses Jesus' example. So my point is simply this, that we can be very practical when we say, does someone love God? Well, if they do, it'll be shown. There'll be something that happens. Love is something you do. Love is something you experience. Love is something you live out with people in a marriage, in a family, in a church, in a life, anywhere. Love has to be something you live out and experience with people. I just want to mention opportunity. I think it's on there. Yeah, good. They're up there, so I don't need to read them. If you have the opportunity, we all have opportunity. In our life group, I think it was on this Thursday, could have been last week, we're talking about the blessings of God, prosperity, deceitfulness of wealth, just light things like that. And it was actually a good discussion. And someone made the comment, and it was, to be born in this country, how blessed is that? And if you think of the fact that, you know, if you, and I don't even have to start with the houses and the cars and the finances to be in the top few percent of the world. If you have running water, you're in like the top 7% of the world. And then if you have a single family dwelling, you're like, you know, right in the top few. And if you have, you know, healthcare and whatever. And the thing that drove me crazy talking about it on Thursday is we came from 30 years in Africa. We come back to Canada every 4 years or so, visit, and we'd read the statistics, and Canada was one of the top countries, if not the top country, many times in the list of a place to live as far as quality of life and healthcare and all those things. And then in Canada, Alberta was one of those top provinces of Canada. And in Alberta, Edmonton is one of those top cities in Alberta. And it's like, we are like living in the cream of the crop here. Do we realize it? And what was driving me crazy over the years as we'd come back is so many of my friends, so many people I knew were getting further and further and further in debt, and their marriages were messed up and their lives were messed up and their credit cards were messed up. And I'm like, you're living in the dream. What's wrong? And my point is that we have to live out this Christian life practically. We have to live it every day in the circumstances that we live in and obey Christ in it. So he says, he who has opportunity. I want to tell you something. And I'm talking to the choir. We have opportunity. We have opportunity to be generous. If we can ever get our eyes off our own little worlds and our own debts and our own problems and our own things, and if we can just, because that's taking him to the next one, and seize his brother, I could preach this all day. Every one of those is a preach. Opportunity, seize, your brother, and your heart is moved. It's like, open your eyes. First of all, you're living in the most blessed part of the world. I am living in the most blessed part of the world. The top few percent of the world. And then all I need to do is have God help me to open my eyes. To see. Someone who sees. And I've used that example so many times, and I forgive me for using it again, but we used to do a warm blanket ministry in South Africa. We'd get all these blankets from the Pretoria News, and we'd get hundreds of them, and we'd take them as a church, and we'd do a warm blanket ministry outreach. And we'd go find areas where people are living on the street and doing these things. It's like we did with the youth downtown at the Hope Mission with the food. You think that one little, I forget what we served them, the Hot Pockets? Yeah. They were good, actually. It was freezing that night, but Hot Pockets. That's actually going to help my point really good right now. Is you think that Hot Pocket changed that guy's life forever on that street? You think that warm blanket changed their life forever? They probably sold it the next day to buy the beer that they were more interested in. But the point of it is to see, to open your eyes, to see your brother in need. He who has opportunity, open your eyes, sees a brother in need, responds. That's how you know love is in the air. That's how you know it's real. That's how God demonstrated his love to us. He didn't just say, oh, shame, look at those poor people lost in sin, tricked by the devil, wearing those clubfoot shoes of the devil. That's an inside story from the prayer meeting. If you weren't there, sorry, you missed that point. We need to open our eyes. God saw our need and he responded. And our challenge to us today is to open our eyes. And then he says, see your brother. Relationships and giving is important. I could go off on that. You know, I appreciate the generosity of people in this church. Don't just give to any willy-nilly. Don't just give to anything. We should have a relationship with that. He says, when you see your brother in need, I could make a whole sermon right here of taking care of the household of God, of taking care of one another, of taking care of the brothers and sisters that are around you. It's great that we have a heart for Africa, and I believe I have a heart for Africa. I'm going to get to my third point in a second. But it's what's more important is living it out right here with people. Living it out in your family. Living it out in real time with people. It's way easier to love an orphan in Zambia than to love one on the street in Edmonton. And it takes a challenge to us to have the opportunity to see the need and then to respond to it and make a difference in someone's life. And then he says, their heart is moved. The sign that it's real. There's real love. Love is the evidence of grace. You can talk about grace all day, but the evidence of it is love. Worked out practically in love. Let me go to the last chapter of this portion of scripture. This little paragraph. It says, this is how we know love. Not know and deduce. See, all my notes are up there. You know everything before I even preach it. Technology. So let me just read it. Not know as in deduce, not know as improve our love. Our actions many times prove the opposite. What John is talking about here in this third paragraph is different from knowing the love of Christ. He's saying, then we will know it. We will experience it. We will be part of it. We'll know the truth and our hearts won't condemn us. And then he goes off on, we'll know Christ and we'll be able to pray and our prayers will be answered. But what it means is you and I will experience something of God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness when we give it out. You want to know the forgiveness of God? Exercise forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it in your opinion. As you release them, you're actually releasing yourself in forgiveness, you all of a sudden have a whole new picture and worldview of what forgiveness is for you. You share grace with someone. You share kindness to someone. I like that quote. Somebody put it on my thing this week. But kindness is the language in which the blind can see and the deaf can hear. Kindness, love, goodness. You give that to someone. You share that with someone. You experience it back. I got to get to the point here this morning, talking about the love of God. It's our message. Christ is our example, and we've got to experience it. And I asked my son for permission to use him this morning, so he's at the very back today, so that's okay. I really loved Africa. I loved the call to Africa, the excitement of ministry, first of all, just to have the call of God on my life. And I was so excited and scared and all that when we received a call to go to Africa and to live there. And we spent 30 years there. So it wasn't just, you know, a fleeting desire. But my point is simply this. There came a time when a little baby entered our life. A little boy named Sachaba. And it was through Nicole's connection with the Abba House and taking care of the orphans there that we met our son, Matthew, who's now our son. But it was like, how do I explain it? But I thought I loved Africans. I thought I loved Africa. I loved being there. I thought I was pretty race blind or free or whatever. We all have our ethnocentricities. We all think our own worlds are pretty good, really. And it's okay to have a healthy belief, as long as it's healthy. But, you know, I have 5 brothers and sisters married to Trinidadian South Africans and people of color. And I thought I was pretty good with all that. And then we adopted Matthew. And then I realized what it meant to love brown skin. Sorry, Matthew. To see this, how beautiful brown skin is. How smooth it is. How soft it is. Connected to a little boy that came into our house that all of a sudden his life depended on us. Depended on us caring and changing and cleaning and serving him for 18 years. Almost gonna end. Yeah, right, not yet. But I just thought, and he had his grade 12 graduation thing, and we as parents had to write letters to our children and give it to the teacher, and they secretly gave it to him at a time when they were away on a retreat for 3 days talking about the love of God and the love of family and love for themselves. And in that time, they open up the letter and they read it, and both Laurie's and I's letter made Matthew cry, so that's a good thing. But I just, I don't know how to explain it, how God changed my understanding of loving Africa by actually having to give myself, actually having to really love someone, really love someone. Not just talk about it, but really love them, really accept them, really bring them into your life and bring them into your home and bring them into everything you do and connect with them. And, you know, we have a number of African folk in this congregation, and it's amazing. It's amazing how many times we can miss each other. You know, Maureen is in Tanzania right now. Her grandpa just died, and we met with Maureen and Ronnie this week just before they had to go away. And it was her birthday on. And again, it's like, and no condemnation to anybody, but do we see a Maureen? Did anybody say happy birthday? I know we did, so I'm talking to the choir. But she's flown now with her grandfather's passed away, and to her it was like her father because he raised her. And I'm just saying, God, who am I not seeing here? Who don't I see? People come and go. People come into our lives and leave our lives. And I'm like, who are we not seeing? Whose beautiful brown skin? If I go back to my son Matthew, I get it to all my kids, but I would love to just kiss his head at night. We'd pray by his bed and we'd kiss his head 100 times. And it was like more and more I was realizing, you know, I never really loved African people. Not like this. How many million people did I not see? Did I walk past? Do I miss? And I kiss his head again and again and again and again. And I'm just like, oh God, help us to see one another. And this isn't a good side of it, is South Africa has issues with apartheid in the past, and we all got our stuff in our hearts, and there's many South Africans here, so I'm not here to offend anybody, but you know some of the battles that go on. And we would walk down the street, Nicole would be carrying Matthew, brand new little guy, just adopted into our family. We love this little guy. And she'd be called a slut because she's got a little brown baby in her arm. And there would be people looking at us. My neighbors were one of them. They had a hard time. They had a hard, hard time. I said it to some, but what I wanted to scream out is that if you would get to know this little boy, like I know this little boy, you would love this little boy. If you could just get to know him. And I've preached that so many times, and I'm telling you, there's gold in every one of us here. Remember that? We've talked about that. Every one of us has got gold in us if you could just see it. If we would just look past the stuff, and if we'd just look past the outwards and the friction and the, you know what? We can get along. We can love one another. We can forgive one another. We can encourage one another. We can live this life out practically. And you know the beautiful thing that John says when we do that? This is our message. Jesus is our example. And he says, when you do that, you will know you're in the truth. You will experience it. You will experience the love of God. You will experience the generosity, the forgiveness, the blessing, the kindness. When you give it out. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's what John just keeps coming around and around and about. This is the Jesus who you saw, who you handled, who you gazed upon. Like I gazed upon my son. It's not just seeing African people, but it's handling, it's smelling, it's feeling, it's kissing, it's loving one another. Do we do it? Can we do it better? Can I encourage you to not get into little cliques of friends? Little groups. And this church is a friendly church, and so I'm saying it in a healthy place. Could I encourage you not to just hang with people of your own generation? Hang with people of your own like. Could I encourage you to see that sister, see that brother, to see that senior, to see that child, to see everyone somehow? And then by God's grace, have that, when you have the opportunity to bless them. And sometimes it's just a word, and I have to end here. Herman touched on it in the prayer meeting. Sometimes it's just one word. Changes a situation. One kindness from you to someone could change their relationship with this church forever. Someone reached out to them. Someone touched them. And if I go back to using our example of Matthew. Nicole got involved at the Abba House. She had never planned to have a brother from the Abba House. She never planned that we'd be sitting in Edmonton. He'll be graduating this month, moving away to Australia. Whatever. You don't think 18 years down the road. She just saw this little group of orphans in the Abba House and asked if she could go there and volunteer after school. And it meant we had to go pick her up before, I think it was before you had your motorbike and crashed and all that stuff. But she crashed three times. I get the phone call. Dad, oh, are you okay? Kyle crashed three times, I guess. I only crashed twice. No more motorbikes. Yeah, that's actually when we quit. We wouldn't buy one for Melanie. But did Nicole know when she went across to Abba House to change some diapers, and they just wanted people to hold the babies, because babies that are not loved, that are not held, they don't connect with anyone, they don't thrive. And so she would go and she would change the babies and take care. That kindness, that action led to this. How many thousands of those stories do we got sitting right here in this room? One kind word, one kindness. I think back, forgive me. I remember Nicole saying to me one time, Dad, there's a couple in the church where I'm attending. She was in Bethesda, where some of you came from. Dad, there's a couple in the church that said if you ever have visitors from South Africa, they're welcome to stay in our home. What they didn't realize is that we had a lot of friends needed a place to stay in their home. It was Carrie and Sue, and George and Liesl came with myself and ended up staying with Carrie and Sue in their home. Who would have guessed what that would lead to? Just a kindness. Just a kindness. It's not doing huge things. It's not, you know, you don't set out to say, well, I'm going to change that person's life forever. But when you see an opportunity, when you see your brother, when you see a chance, this is where I'll end. Take it. Step out. Be generous. Do something. Give your money. Live. Spend. Love. Live, man. I'm getting worked up here, but it's like, otherwise you're just going through the motions. We don't need another church service. We don't need another coming, just sitting and getting a couple of thoughts into our heads. We need to live this stuff. We need to, sorry, my grandson, I'm screaming so loud, harming him. I hope you get my point. I'll quiet down. Just live. If this is the church that God has called you to be part of, knitting your heart in here. If you're visiting, you're welcome. We love you. Eat all our cookies. We're going to have pizza just now. I saw him bring in the pizzas. That's why I'm trying to hurry up. Come and be part of it. If this is where God knits you in, this is where you feel God has put you, then I'm asking you, I'm challenging you from John. The message is the same. Let's love God and let's love one another. Stop acting like Cain. And I forgot the point in that first paragraph. He says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if you don't get much back when you love and when you share and when you give your life. But when you do, that's when you're going to know you're in the truth. That's when you're going to know, yeah, I'm a child of God. Yes, it can it assures me I'm experiencing something of God's forgiveness. I'm experiencing something of God's goodness when I give it out. So when we come together as a church like this, and it's not just on Sundays, it's we're sharing our lives, it's doing life together, it's friends before function, it's all the things that we value and the things we talk about, this loving community that shows the love of God to one another, whatever, we can put all the stuff we want on the walls. I'm asking you, will you live it out? Will you see one another? Will you? Generationally, racially, each one, whether married, single, divorced, widowed, we have it all, orphaned. Will you see one another? Will God move our hearts enough to get us to respond, to do something? And you know, say, well, yeah, you're probably going to just talk about money. Yeah, I'm talking about money. Do something with your money. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody. It's one way that we can take a chunk of our time and our work and our effort and say, you know what, I really would like to encourage someone. And I said it at Life Group because we were talking about finances and talking about generosity and so on. But it's good to do it through a church rather than you connecting directly with someone and they, you know, every time you come to church, they're kind of looking at you like, huh, I wonder if I've got another gift for me. It's kind of like my kids when I used to come back from traveling. I used to travel all the time. And I come back and the first question didn't matter what I did. What did you bring us? We're trying to avoid that. But sometimes when we can just give and say, you know what, I'd like to bless someone. I'd like to encourage someone. I see a family. I see a need. And it's not just here. It's a lifestyle of generosity. Can I encourage you from the words of John? Then you will know. Not deduce or prove, yeah, I'm going to prove I'm a Christian, I'm doing these things. You know what? Our love will often prove that I'm not so good. My level of love actually proves the opposite many times. But if we know in the meaning of experience it, when we give, that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give. When we pour out, when we offer to someone grace and offer forgiveness and offer love, that's when we experience it. That's when we come to this place where it's like, oh God, that's what it means to love. That's what it means to care about someone. That's what it means to show kindness to someone. Let's pray.